This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, it's another one of those absolutely fantastic days. It's the shortest hour of the week, and it happens every single time right here on CliffCentral.com. My name is Weza. You can call me Weza That Guy. Certainly another one of those great days indeed, and it's now time for the shortest hour of the week. It is Unplugged and In Charge, and I've got people in the studio right here who are exactly about that. These guys are really, really amazing people. They're go-getters. You know what I mean? They're trying to see the world as a better place, and they actually wake up every single day and decide, you know what, I'm going to be the difference that I want to see out there. And a couple of them have done amazing, amazing things. And in fact, the really cool thing is that we even have a product of one man success right here, or one man success story. And it's great to just see that young people are building young people, and that I think is one of the great ways in which we can make South Africa a great, great place. So I've got here in studio with me Mikael. He's got many names, but he decided let me pick Mikael amongst all of them. And I also have, I'm not even sure, Nkosinathi, is he also Aaron on a good day, or is he just Nkosinathi? We'll find out in a short little while. And I've got Mfana Futi as well. He decided, you know what, just like that. Gentlemen, I'm going to just introduce you all at once on studio right here. How you guys doing today?
All good, man. How are you?
Strong. Mfana Futi. Everything's great. Fantastic. Now, these guys, as I mentioned, are really amazing people. They're groundbreaking go-getters. They're doing amazing things. And in fact, I'm going to try first to just profile them almost a little bit one by one. And then we'll try to have a bit of a round table discussion a little bit afterwards, just to pick their brains, because these guys are doing great things. And we want to know a bit more about them. But let's zoom into one of them, one at a time. Okay, cool. So I'm going to start off with Nkosinathi. I think I met you outside. You say you come from an event. You were at an event today, and it was actually quite exciting. So that's why I actually want to just start off by chatting with you real quick about your event, and of course about all the initiatives that you're out there doing as well. But before we even get there, let's just talk about who's Nkosinathi and what soil was Nkosinathi's roots formed in. Yeah.
Thanks, Weza. Good afternoon to the listeners. I think you've got an amazing show here, and I've got two great gents to my right. So Nkosinathi is a 28-year-old young man, first born of a single mothered home. Come from Krugersdorp, grew up in Krugersdorp in the west of Johannesburg, but my roots from my father are in the Eastern Cape. Utatamu
Mpondomse. Okay.
Xhosa man. Uh-huh. He passed away when I was about 3 years of age, but apparently I'm a spitting image of him. So
wow. Yes.
I guess I live through him in each day. Young man who's just been really just gunning, ambitious all my life. You know, my mother told me when I was young, she said, you know, you've got to write your own story. No matter what's happened with your family or whatever, you've got to go for what you want. And I'm quite aligned to my spiritual beliefs, and I believe that everyone is here to fulfill a certain purpose. And my journey has been ensuring that I get myself on that path. And I think now where I'm at, I'm in that journey, but only at the beginning of getting to where I need to get to. My purpose on this earth is to help young people find the best version of themselves, because as soon as they do that, they're able to then reciprocally assist people more and more and more and more. That's my purpose on this earth.
Yeah.
And I know that by the company that I'm running right now, the people I meet in each day, and I'm just here to spread positive vibes and make my mama proud, man.
Yeah.
Now
tell me, when did you decide, okay, this is my purpose? When was that decision made for you?
So all my life I've been battling with this thing, you know, just why are we here, you know? And you know, you go to church and they tell you, you know, you've got a path to follow and but I think it really cracked for me when I stopped trying to define it myself, and I just opened myself up to the universe and to journeys, to people, to lessons. You know, I listen a lot. I talk. I don't talk as much as I listen. And that helped me. And about about 4 years ago, I joined this company called Prime Stars. And it is through this journey, through the thousands and thousands and thousands of young people that I met on a Saturday, Sunday morning at Stoke Kinigo Cinemas across the country, that I realized that this is where I'm meant to be. The day I was willing to work 24 hours a day, you know, blood, sweat and tears to make this thing happen, when I knew that this is where I need to be.
Because it was not just about feeling exhausted, but it was also about feeling fulfilled, right?
110%. If you can keep the same job, if someone said to you tomorrow, I'm cutting your salary in half, and you're still happy to stay, there's something about that place that's bigger than you. And as soon as you acknowledge that this is bigger than me, then everything you've ever wanted will come to you after that. So I think that's when I realized that this is where I need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's quite powerful, because then it gives you this feeling that you are already 65 years old. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
I have that feeling, because I was also in my, I think I was about 22, 23 when I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. Mm. And I figured it out, you know. So, and then, and it was also because of reading a book. I read this book that said, if money was not an issue, if money was not a priority, like everything's taken care of. Don't think, hey, I'll be making for this so that everything's taken care of. What would you be doing? Like, if you know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
Man. Yeah,
you know, that's exactly right. And I think I must say, you know, even to people listening, the journey to finding your purpose is not an easy one.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. I'm sure you've tried many different things.
Yeah.
Trying to get to that alignment, and when you did get it, you committed to it. You know.
Mm.
So I think that's also what helped me find it. Trying and trying. You know, they say every time you fail is not a negative. It's actually one more way that you know not to do something.
Yeah.
You know, every time Thomas Edison tried his formulas and it didn't work for the light, he just said to himself, I found 1,000 ways that didn't work, which means I'm closer to the solution, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I just applied that same methodology and I found myself blessed and in this position. And there's still a long way to go. But for me, another thing is I really believe in the potential of young black brothers, you know what I'm saying? I've got love for the ladies, but I've grown up without a father. I've grown up without male figures in my life, right? So I understand the difficulty in that. And there's going to be many young guys coming after us.
Yeah.
But we were destined to be leaders in whatever place you've been put into, whether it be business, family, local. And I think that, you know, people like yourselves, people like Mikhail, as we're talking right now, we're having way different conversations, the kind of conversation people are having out there. And we need more of this. And that's what I strive for.
Definitely. Yeah.
Big.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, tell me a little bit about what exactly you were doing today and what makes it so exciting.
Okay. So I run a national organization called Prime Stars, and we are currently the biggest youth empowerment initiative in the country. We teach young people on maths and science, on financial literacy, entrepreneurship, on career guidance. But what we do is we teach in Stoke Kinigo Cinemas. So we use movies to teach. We understand that traditional ways of teaching have their results, and it's not the results we need. Though we support government, we in full partnership with government, we are the arm that goes into exploratory kind of ways of teaching. So on the big screen, when you would go and watch Black Panther, or you'd go and watch Skyscraper, when I walk in there, I see my classrooms. And the gent to my right is a product of one of our programs, which is our maths and science program. And my job is to get Department of Basic Education, Higher Education, Small Business Development, Science and Technology, all of them on board to support my corporate partners. You know, so this morning we had a media breakfast for the same program. It's been running for 10 years, 30,000 beneficiaries on an annual basis. It's in all 9 provinces, supporting public schools that can't afford it. So, you know, people, I have to say this, but people, the likes of Capitec, Telkom, Bidvest, and Sasria give me the means to make it happen. So they fund the transport, the food, the movies, the teacher development, the content. So what we do is really we've galvanized and revolutionized education in South Africa, and we're only at the tip, working with 90,000 young people a year. I'm looking for partnerships on a daily basis. Platforms like this are powerful. And what I'm going to do in the next 10 years is quadruple the value of the business, get into rural areas, big time, where they have no connectivity. And obviously, ultimately, we'll be online as well. So we're looking at revolutionizing education as we know it to ensure that the young people that come out of our system are globally competitive.
Excellent. And where have you been operating? You're saying you're in all nine provinces. Let's say, for instance, we make an example of Gauteng. Where in Gauteng would the initiative be taking place?
Okay, so currently we're live in cinemas nationwide. Typically in Gauteng, because it's our biggest caption area. Use Sir Kinigo the Zone in Rosebank, Sandton, Four Ways, Southgate, Maponya, Valmall, Eastgate, Greenstone, Mall at Carnival. I'm in the Grove in Pretoria, Mall of Africa now in Midrand, Cradlestone in the West, Colonnade in Montana. We're everywhere in Gauteng.
Wow.
You know, and then nationally, I'm in centers all over.
Yeah.
You know, and I can name them for you, you know, as we go out there. So my job is to get more and more and more of these centers filled with young people that need it.
So you guys create the content that is in line with the syllabus of
high school learners.
Yeah, high school learners in matric specifically.
So our program from today is matric, maths and science, and then the other three run from grade 9 to 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then do the students come out on Saturdays or the frequency?
Sure.
Let's say, for instance, I live in Garankuwa,
right.
So the nearest one to me would be...
We'd take you to Colonnade.
That's
where we would take you.
All right.
So how it works is we work with the Department of Basic Education. They give us access to the schools. We identify with the sponsors schools that are most in need of the topic that we are working on. So if we're looking at matric maths and science, we'll then get directed to schools that either have a very big focus on getting young people from a non-passing to passing rates, or a big focus from getting young people from non-distinction to distinction. That's how we identify the schools nationwide. Mm. Majority of them are no-fee paying schools or former Model C schools, right? Because they need the support. Then what happens is we register at least 200 schools per program. Up to, in the math and science program, I've got 30,000 seats is the capacity. And they register with their teachers, principals, and districts, bringing them on board. And on a weekly basis, on Saturday and Sunday mornings between 8 and 12, they're in the cinema watching the content on screen, receiving content to work with on the booklets. Teachers are there to ensure that they sustain their lessons in the school afterwards. And this runs for a period of 10 weeks, maths and science specifically.
Mm.
The four programs are run. Two run in the first half of the year, so term one and two. The other two run in term three and four. So we run all throughout the year, Saturdays and Sundays. My staff is in cinemas all around the country every Saturday and Sunday morning. And that's how we run it. And thereafter, obviously, we've got to do assessments of the program, because if you can't measure, you can't manage. So we measure the impact of the program. In our entrepreneurship program, for example, 16,000 young people come in and watch a movie teaching them the power of problem solving and how they can create solutions to their own problems. Doing that, we then teach them how to commercialize that solution. And in the past 4 years with the Minister of Small Business Development, we've created at least, I'd say, about 150 businesses in high school. They get supported with incubation funding, and these are the kind of sustainable programs we're developing.
Wow.
Thank you.
This is brilliant, man. Well done. Absolutely fantastic. Jeez, that's some stuff I would like to get involved in, because I'm actually in that space. I'm doing so much in that space.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have another chat about these type of things and more even after the show. So you're saying that Funafuti is one of the products that have successfully come out of this initiative, right?
Right. So what I always, sorry to just interrupt, what I always say to people about our beneficiaries is that they come into the program with their potential, you know, with their skill set, with their mindset, and all we do is just ignite it for them to be able to express it. You know, we don't give them their gifts. We don't give them their talent. We just help them in channeling it, igniting it. And Funafuti is one of our math and science beneficiaries, but trust me, he can speak very well for himself. He doesn't need me.
Great stuff. Funafuti, 100%. Let me just turn you up right this side. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Mfit.
Right. I'm from Norcombe Park, right? In the Kempton Park, yeah. I'm 21 years of age. Bachelor's of Accounting students at the University of Johannesburg, my third year. right?
UJ all the way, baby.
Yeah, so actually I'm just like you guys, you know, interested in the same thing: self-development, social entrepreneurship, the growth of the youth, right? I'm the youngest one here, so I'm actually
that's right,
I'm ahead of you guys.
Yeah,
I was able to, like he said, actually, when I was listening to Nkosi speak, I was in so much awe about the conversation that we're having here, guys. It's brilliant to be able to have such conversations about the development of the youth, right? And to be able to be impactful at an early stage, right? So I matriculated in Nokam Park High School in 2015. That's when I was part of the Educate program, right? And I'd attend the maths and science, and ever since then it's been history, yeah.
Mm. Excellent, man. And how would you say a program like this contributes in, you know, in a young person's life?
Yeah. So naturally, like he says, he doesn't give people gifts, right? So naturally, I understood myself to be more of a person who invests more in the things that are not tangible, right? So I always, when they ask me about the lessons about Educate, I never speak about the marks, even though the first time I got a distinction in physical science was in my matric final results. First time I got a distinction in accounting was matric final results, right? As a result of that. But I never speak about that. I always speak about what math and science meant to me. It was always, math is a language that allows you to interpret the patterns of numbers, right? Mm. Physics is the natural part of it, where you apply it in real life situations. So that whole idea of being able to understand principles and translate them and apply them in real life situations, even with the standard of questions that you would get from the Educate program, you would see they were tangible, right? So always that ability to move from theory to practical is what I valued most about the Educate program.
Hmm. And then now, just looking at what you decided to go and study, did you always want to study what you're studying right now? Do you feel like you were channeled in some way or motivated to strive for this rather than that?
Yeah. So very controversial question, actually. like most of young people that in high school, you never really have a clear idea of what it is you want to do, right? So later on, I was never really always academically inclined, but later on, after grade 10, I started being really good at maths, physics, business, and accounting, right? And it was only then that I started taking an interest in such things, right? And also, coming from a family that's a bit financially impoverished, right, I then said I need to educate myself some financial literacy, right? And I'm like, okay, why not go into the CA stream, right? And I took accounting in grade 10. I saw a few things there. I was interested about how money works, right? And then that's when I took, but the nice thing that I was able to mix them. So I took business, I took physics, I took accounting, and I took maths. So I was always able to relate in every situation, right? And then that ability to have that science factor also allowed me to implement it in accounting. Then I applied for a few bursaries. I knew I was going to study accounting, like I'm doing my third year right now. It has helped me, right? It has helped me big time. But also on this course, studying this thing, I realized more about myself. Right. I've realized that this 3 years was needed. It was valid. I did need it. But there's more to this for me. Right. There's more to this for me. I'm more of in the same space that he is right now. I've got a company that I started with a few guys of mine called Little Labo Kamoso. Right. Basically, it's vision for the future. Right. Vision for
Little Labo Kamoso.
Yes.
Yeah. He had to Englishify it, right?
Yeah. Just so the listeners know.
What's going on, man? I was like, what's that?
Right. Yeah. So basically, we've done a few things here, DJ. Right. We've had conversations about the transformation of leadership in Africa.
Mm.
I do a lot of motivational talks at high school. I do a lot of camps that I facilitate. I just do a lot of things that make people want to take a step back and redefine themselves, right? It's a process that we all need to go through in our youth, right? We need to take time to realize what it is that we would like to do, right? Something that you do without even getting paid for, like you guys said.
Mm. Yeah. So you're saying you help people with that. So that means I'm also assuming that you've also taken the time to step back and redefine yourself.
Hmm.
Then define yourself.
Who, me?
Yes.
I always tell people, and I'm going to say this because I can't define myself, I won't lie. I always tell people, a rival does not exist. So I can't say this is who I am at this point in time. I'm forever growing. The moment you're going to say this is who I am, I'm going to limit myself from going further, right? So at the moment, what I can see to me right now, I can just say, I'm diverse, I'm versatile, I'm willing to learn all the time. Like, I'm involved in so many things, sports, leadership at my res, leadership at high school, leadership in the initiatives that I'm busy with, a lot of self-development, a lot of things touching everywhere and everywhere, right? Mm. Helping a lot of people with allowing themselves to go back to who they truly are, right?
Yeah.
Academics as well, you know, love that, love learning. I don't think there's a place where I haven't touched. There's an area where I haven't touched. I found relevance in everywhere, and that ability to intertwine that. So you wanna define me? I'm Mfana Futhi, willing to learn anytime.
Yeah.
I always tell people that you need to allow yourself to be like water. Whatever the container is, you should fit.
Yeah. Be like water, my friend. Yeah. Bruce Lee. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really great what you're saying right there. And I noticed that you were always like that, even from the age of around 15, 16, because of the modules that you, or let me call them the subjects that you decided to choose. Mm-hmm. A lot of people channel themselves very early and they say, I don't think I'll need that. So then they just pick what they think they're going to need for life because they think they got it all figured out at 15. You know what I mean? So you went and took science, and then that means you had to break your mind with Newton's first law and second law and thermodynamics. Yet you also went and took accounting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that means it was taxation and now it is all these ledgers and all these things that you need to balance and all these things. Mm-hmm. And then you also took, you know, modules that were in between these as well, because you were trying to say, hey, I don't know where life is going to go, so I'm going to touch everywhere and I'll try to see how I go about things. In fact, that reminds me a lot of myself, because I was pretty much exactly like that. In fact, when I was about 15 or 14 and I had to decide which modules to pick, I really got frustrated. I was like, how do you, what do you mean you guys want to channel us at this young age? Like, I still want to learn everything, you know. And I really felt frustrated. But at even when I was in varsity, I was that guy that you would think, is this guy confused? What does he want? Because I'm here in a chemical engineering class and I'm studying chemical engineering, but you also see me on TV and you hear me on radio, and then he's doing some motivational stuff out there. He's on, he's doing, and you're thinking, who is this guy? What? And still, even today, like, I'm out here trying to start a TV network, and I'm also trying to do some crazy things out there with insurance companies, and it's just crazy. You still can't define me. So I'm saying you're on the right path, my man.
Actually, I you
give you a round of applause right there.
You actually remind me of some things that I'd like to highlight for a few people, right? Like you said, you're sitting in a chemical engineering class, you're going to do something else. I'm sitting in an accounting class. I see the relevance, but my heart is somewhere else. And never, at no point in time should I tell myself I'm never going to need this accounting experience or knowledge or degree. Because just before the show, we were speaking about how you guys can help each other out with these different things, right? I'll always need it, even though it's somewhere else, right? And I also think about how significant what the guys at Educate are doing. It's a difference. It's a twist. You bring the classroom in a different avenue. You look at the cone. There's this structure of learning called the cone art of learning, right? Literally, it's just a cone that describes how effective and efficient learning is. It goes from the bottom, which is at 10%, all the way to 100%. Mm-hmm. And it speaks about how passive education is less effective than active education. And I was telling the guys the program that the reading and the lectures, for some reason, fall at the bottom of the pyramid. But the audios, the actual doing of the work, the playing of games like Monopoly and Scrabble, that when you actually do the stuff, you are more better at retaining the information and apply it in real life situation.
Of course.
So you want to know why I was a student. I was never always getting A's, right? You want to know why I didn't do well in high school? I probably was just doing the reading only. I didn't do the actual application, right? And I started learning those principles in grade 10 and grade 11. In matric, it just got way better. The practical side of it is that when you start physically engaging in these things, you retain the information more. It becomes a part of you, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm doing accounting right now. Whenever you're at a stage in life and you see that this is not what you want to do, take that as a position for growth. Because at some point in time, you're going to need it. You're going to need people. You're going to meet people that will make you grow, right? That's what I tell people every time I meet, that it's a stage. It's the next step. It's just the next step, yeah.
Yeah. Mikhail, you want to add anything to this?
That's definitely very true, especially around the not getting A's part, right?
Yeah.
So I consider myself to be a highly intelligent person, right? And I didn't get A's either, like all through high school and things like that, only in matric, because that's when I decided to start reading and things like that. Mm-hmm. But one thing that was that I always found was, you don't, if you are not that straight A student, right, and you're the C student or the B student, you know what that gives you time for? Right, that gives you time to learn other things. Right, that gives you time to like find sweet, yourself. Sweet. It really does, mm-hmm. because for me personally, I was a hockey player, hockey coach, right. Still learning other things. I started teaching myself how to code when I was in high school, right? I started reading about behavioral finance in high school. So I was learning about a whole host of other different skills that I didn't have in high school, right? But I had access to because, you know, the internet, and that's the beauty of our generation. Like we validated the internet, we validated social media and those types of things. So I could use all of those things to actually just educate myself further, which is quite an amazing thing, because if I wasn't, I always look at it this way. I was just like, if I'd spent more time reading that book, or if I had spent more time doing more maths or doing more accounting, I probably wouldn't have had the time to like hone other skills, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in this whole thing, you have to be, you know, a master of one skill. No, so that whole saying, oh, you're a jack of all trades but a master of none, trust me, I'd prefer to be with the jack of all trades, right? Because that's a guy that I can relate to. That's a guy that like I can go to with any different or any other problem, right? And be like, okay, so can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And he might not be able to do it at like a mastery level, right? But he can do it at an intermediary level, right? Like at an intermediate, he's that type of person. And that for me is good enough, to be honest with you.
So tell us a bit about yourself and the come up and to where you are right now.
Oh, the come up. Shucks. Okay. So full name's Mikhail Swanese Tumoyo. So my name's mean. Mikhail means the one like God. Swanisetu means our light. And then my surname Moyo means soul. So my entire name means the one like God, who's our light and soul. Mm. Right. So my mother's always said to me that like you must live your name to the fullest in everything that it is that you do. Right. So I've tried my best to do that. Single parent household. So raised by my mom. We came from Zim like 92. So I was born in Zim. Came from Zim 92. So I've been here since. So it's been quite a journey. UJ boy myself, so UJ all the way. I was also in res myself, so I need to find out what res are you in.
So far, it's on residence.
Okay, so you know.
It's quality, man. You never know.
Hey, you know these accounting guys. And right, so hockey player, you know, tax specialist. When I was in varsity, I studied finance, right, and then honors financial planning. So I kind of always knew that like this is what I wanted to do. When I started though, I started in accounting, and so that was back in 2010. Yeah. So I started in accounting, realized after 6 months, this is not me. Right. And then I switched over to finance because I knew that, all right, this is what I wanted to do. So my background was investment banking and got into financial planning. But during varsity is when myself and a business partner of mine started our very first company. Right. And this is going to be an extremely audacious thing. And I'm really sorry, Natty, like when I say this, like, but I just believe, and myself and Yami have always believed this thing, that we are the people that actually made financial literacy cool.
Okay.
Right, because
wait. Yami Swana.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Shout out to Yami Swana.
You know what I mean? What up, boy? And I know he's actually listening, right? So we actually created a whole thing called Wolf and Looper back in the day. It's like 2013, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking about like financial literacy and, you know, using Chris Brown hitting Rihanna to teach people like a, you know, financial lesson, using the Lion King, Harry Potter, all the things that people relate to, right? And that goes back to your point. Why? Because people are going to remember what they relate to. So I might not do it like while they're playing Monopoly, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it with saying, oh, Chief, Chris Brown hit Rihanna, you know, and he's hitting his prized possession after he hit her. like his album sales dropped and things like that. What is one of your prized possessions? One of your prized possessions is your money, right? So stop hitting your money, stop abusing your money, because the second you start doing that, it's going to decrease, my friend, right? And it's going to start going to bad debts and things like that. So that's how I would like... put messages across, right?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so then I sold that. So we sold that in 2015.
It was a blog at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, blog. Like so we wrote, right? I was literally sitting there blogging every single day.
Yeah.
And my mom hated it, right? Like she was just like, this thing is not going to work. And then, funny enough, I was on Cliff Central with Yami, future CEOs.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, my mom's now the biggest fan, right? Then she became the biggest fan, which is an amazing thing. And then after we sold that, then I just got involved in a whole host of other things. Yeah. Right. So
is it one of those sold for an undisclosed amount, or is
it
like
one of those? Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, yeah.
This man is so secretive.
Chief, you know this is radio. Wow. You know we can discuss it like off air, right? So so we did that, and then from Wolf and Loop, I started like being paid by banks and, you know, different financial institutions to actually just go around and start talking about financial literacy and money, right, and budgeting and investments and what's happening out there, because I was in the industry, right? So I'm seeing the stuff firsthand, and then I can relate all of the things that like we do badly in the industry to people and what to look out for. Like, how do you actually buy a car? Like, what are the hidden costs with buying a car? You know, what is a balloon payment? You know, what does interest really mean to you? Should you have a car for 72 months or whatever the case may be? So we started doing that. But then while all of that was going on, my main focus now is our tax company, right, which is called Mpato & Associates, right? Yeah. So you can catch us on mpatoandassociates.com, right? And you can just hit me up on my, like, Instagram, my Twitter, whatever. Just use my name and you'll find me. Now, what we then do is we do financial planning and tax consulting. So typically what you're going to do when you go to a tax practitioner, right, is this guy's just going to say to you, bring me all your documents, I need this, I need this, I need this, and he's going to submit it on your behalf and then do your tax return, and that's it, right? That's what this person gets paid for. Now, I'm not gonna rain on that parade, because, you know, you, it's a skill, right? You actually go to varsity and things like that, and you have to, it's a profession. But you know, like, what value have you really added, bro? Like, I gave you everything, okay? All right, it's not like you went and you went to, you know, Liberty or PPS or whatever to get those documents on my behalf. No, I did it, right? So that's where we changed, we believe that we've changed the game, is we then do the tax advice on top of that fee, right? So I actually advise you on how to decrease your tax, all right, how to increase your returns. That's what we then do. And then we actually look at your entire portfolio and we say, okay, yeah, maybe you should be investing something like this. Look at that. Move your money here. Do this. Use a company to purchase this property, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So that's what we now do. And that's what the fee is. Yet it's the exact same fee. And sometimes it's a little bit lower than what an ordinary tax practitioner would charge. And then we still do, you know, the submission of your tax returns. And, you know, we do the admin side of it. But the part that really gets us going, gets me going specifically, is that advice part, and literally just sitting there and actually helping a client out.
Yeah.
I mean, on the way here, I was on the phone with a client, and like, I was just telling her exactly what she needs to do. I was like, no, I need you to do this, I need you to do this. Yeah, we submitted it, but, you know, I need you to look at doing this, and then do that, and then increase this by this much, and then this is what the figure's going to change to next year. And, like, you know, sitting in a car doing that, right? But that help someone else.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big thing, because again, like I said, coming from a single parent household, money's not that great. My mother was a nurse, etc., etc., right? But managed to somehow put me through private schools and things. And I don't know how black moms did. So shout out to black moms. You know what I mean?
Black mom superpower, you know what I mean? Right there. Right.
So through all of that, and that's where I learned about, you know, money. I learned about money by not having it. Right, being in a shopping mall and like asking for something and being said no, there's no money for that, right? But I was fortunate with the relationship that I have with my mom, that she would say, I don't have it because of this and this, and this is where the money went. It went to putting you through school, it went to getting you your first hockey stick, it went to this, it went to that. So, you know, you learn these things and then you say to yourself, all right, cool, so that's not a life that I want to live one day. Right? Not that I hated my life at all, because I'm a firm believer of, like, you're a direct product of, like, your environment.
When you're at a restaurant, you don't want to look at the right-hand side of the column to the prices to determine how hungry you are.
Listen, guys, me personally, I still do that thing, because they have that thing where it says SQ, and I'm like, what's this thing now?
That thing will kill you.
It will break you, right? Like, you're going to go there thinking you're fresh, and then what's going to happen, right? So yeah, and that's in a nutshell. Everyone always asks me, like, my mantra has always been the same thing with every single one of my clients, right? My number one job is to make sure that you never go broke. That is my job, right? That's me. Make sure you never go broke. Make sure you have money for yourself. You live the lifestyle that it is that you want to live, because that's the one thing that our fairer in complexion people have always taught me in going to school with them, right? You know, the Caucasians, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, white people. Yeah. You can say white sure, people, yeah, right? They're white, yeah. Right? So that's the one thing that I've always loved about white people. It's lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle is one thing that they will never, ever, ever, ever falter, right? So for us, we'll be going to a club and popping bottles and thinking that that's lifestyle. And yes, that is a different form of lifestyle, right? But you must remember, when we're doing that at night. That when you're outside of the office, whereas they're sitting in a restaurant during the day having meetings, right? But we are then at the office slaving away, and that for me was a lifestyle that I wanted, right? Mm. I don't want to be seen popping bottles at a club. I've done it, but I don't want to be seen doing that, right? I'd prefer someone to see me during the day and be like, Ganti, what's going on? No, I can even show you like messages, like if I put like stories up. Right, where I'm having meetings with clients or whatever, someone will be like, "But are you actually working? Or what's the story here? You know, like And that happened 2 days ago. Like someone is like, "Chief, do you work or what?" And it's like, "No, guys, called lifestyle design. Mm. Right, you've got to design the lifestyle that you want. So I don't want to be chained to a table and be there from 9 until 5 and ask to go to the bathroom and then be told when I can take lunch and when I can't take lunch. No,
A very fancy slavery. It's like being a well-paid slave.
Yeah, it's being a well-paid slave, right? And sometimes you're not even that well-paid. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's all lifestyle design, and that's some of the things that I also speak about when I do, like, you know, public speaking gigs. I was doing one now with the BMF, the Black Management Forum. Yeah. The student chapters going to every single university around the country just speaking, right? And they had their big national conference now like 2 weeks ago at in the south at the Edcon Retail Academy, and we had a big thing there, you know, about 400 students I think it was over there, and like we had a nice little chat, and that was amazing for me. So those are my things, right? Like, and that's how for me I feel like you give back, because just because you know something doesn't mean you must keep it to yourself. That's just right. Because you're really good at something doesn't mean you must keep it to yourself.
Yeah,
right? You've got to share. You have to share. Like, why should I not teach my clients how to file a tax return, right? Oh, yeah, I know, Mikhail, you're going to lose a client. Okay, yeah, cool. In the last 4 years, I've maybe lost 6.
Imagine. Right?
I've maybe lost 6. Because at the end of the day, people still want your service, right?
Eventually, what you're trying to do is you're trying to add more value than what you get paid for, because ultimately that makes you very valuable.
Exactly.
And right? And that makes the referrals happen as well. Exactly. For instance, you were just having a chat about what you do. You gained like 2 customers at the same time. Well, you're the third one. You know what I mean? Exactly. Just because we could hear the value of what you do, you know, and we could say, hey, this fits in with my life, you know.
Yeah.
But what I loved about what you just said is lifestyle design. That I think was a powerful term. Like, you can do what you want to do and do it in the circumstances that are also pleasing to you as well. You know, I think a lot of people find themselves in careers where, you know, they thought that's what they wanted to do, but then when they realize the circumstances in which they have to operate, then they kind of get a little discouraged. Like, for instance, I'll tell you a bit about myself. Yeah. When I studied chemical engineering, and then all of a sudden now we get to go to the plants, and I mean, it's all these fumes and things smell bad, and I'm wondering, the plant is literally where we're making the petrol and all that type of stuff, right? And I'm just thinking, no, man, guys, and all this noise, and it's not what I wanted. Yeah. And now I have to wear boots and PPE, literally those overalls. I thought I was going to be, you know, I mean, because I like my suits and stuff like that.
Like old Natty over here. You know? The boys are out and what and everything.
You know, and now here I am, and this is nothing like what I thought it was going to be. And I'm smart, but no, man, this is not how I wanted to operate. And then all of a sudden, the work starts to bore you. You're sitting in that cubicle, and that. You came in at 7:30. At 9 o'clock, you're already hoping it's going to be coffee break because you're falling asleep. And after the coffee break, you're hoping it's going to be lunch. After lunch, you just want to go home. Yeah. That's not a good way to live, guys.
I just like to comment on what you said. I hope a lot of varsity students are listening to what you're saying. Right? You find yourself in those positions where, yes, we've studied something. Yes, it's beneficial. But then we find ourselves not loving what we're doing. Right? Yeah. So I just like to everyone out there, guys, take time to research. to research what you're studying. Find out how the environment is going to be post-work, post-studying, so that you see where they're going to fit with it, right? I remember I in matric or grade 12, I went to some company and did some bookkeeping just as a side job. I saw there was lessons to be learned, but I did know that I was not going to find myself there like for a long time.
What, as so a bookkeeper, figured,
okay,
right?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, not let me go there, get the lessons that need to be learned, the financial literacy, the understanding of economics and all those things. Once I'm done with that, that's when I'm gunning for myself. Yeah.
You know what it is for me? Like, what I hear from you, the big thing, and I think why I'm in, why, what I'm in, is all of you guys have gotten to a point where you've decided, right? Just so your mindset is step one, right? Which is why I'm so passionate about education. The thing is, you know, lifestyle design is a big thing for me. And what you said for me there is powerful, because the people you are talking about make a decision. They are screwed in a certain, their minds, their brains, you know, are sort of programmed in a certain way to say, I can do what I want to do.
Fact.
But many people do not live like they can do what they want to do. People live reactive lives, you know. I can do what life allows me to do.
In the book, they it's either the internal locus of control or the external locus of control.
So what's big for me, why education is so big for me, is that if we really get people to understand what education is, not curriculum, caps,
not the textbook definition of it, or not the dictionary definition, right?
So school is a tool, right? Mm. That's what we need to really clarify for young people. School is a tool. School is not the roadmap. School is a tool. So we give you a bunch of tools and then we say, go out there and use them as best as you possibly can. That's what we should be doing, right? And when I listen to guys like this, if you clearly have decided what you want for yourself, you clearly have decided the path you want in your life, and your upbringing, from your mother to the schools you went to your godfather and to the friends you put around you, then got you into a certain mindset that tells you that you can leave this room and do what you want to do and live the life you want to live. Now, the majority of South Africans, if not Africans, right, the 99% of the world that is chewing on 1% of the wealth, right, have not decided. The 1% who has the wealth decided long ago. Right, and the reason why they keep it is because grandfather taught grandson, taught son, taught grandmother. Let me be right with the gender. Grandmother taught granddaughter, taught mother, taught. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for us, a lot of people inherit a debt mindset, right, or a consumer mindset, and it's unfortunate, but that's the story that ends up after that. Education is meant to break that, right?
Yeah.
That's our job. We're meant to reconfigure your mindset, right, and say, no matter where you come from, you can decide.
You can decide, yeah.
And once you decide, your actions must follow.
Of course, Nati, what you're saying is 100% true. In fact, there's one quote I heard that kind of matches it 100%. A bird outside, we can look out the window right now, hopefully we can see a bird, but a bird has wings. It can fly wherever it wants to in the whole world. Why does it stay in one place?
Exactly.
Or more importantly, why do you?
Why do you?
Yeah. Because the thing is, you got to remember, right? It's great because, I mean, going back to education, this is education. This for me is a definition of education, right? This is education, okay? Because I'm going to walk out of here a better person with more knowledge, because we are forever learning. Right? And that's one thing that we've always got to understand. And then even over and above that, we've got to always remember that it's our duty to pass it forward, right? You've got to pass it on to whoever the next person is, or someone in your family, or a younger person in your family, or the youth. And that's why I love what you guys are doing, Nati. So I already know that all of us here, we're going to have to do something together,
right?
I already know that.
That's right.
And with that being said, is as black people, right? And sorry, I'm pro-black, and I don't apologize for it at all. Is that we have to teach other black folks, right? So one of my very, very good friends, white guy, went to China yesterday, emigrated. So they were over at my place on Monday. Now, young lady, also white, said to me, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here, you know, in the area and what. Like, people are probably looking at my car like, you know, but you know what? I don't care, Mikael. You know why? Because I'm going to drive my little Kia Picanto until it breaks. and then only then will I get a new car. But I'll get another Kia because it gets me from point A to point B, right? And that for me, I was just like, Emun, we're the same age. Now, someone my age would say, who's black, ah, no, 320D or A-Class or GTI, sure, right?
25,
you know, yeah, right? Yeah. True. Always like consumer mindset, debt, right? And I'm just like, I did it. Again, like, I always say to people, what qualifies me to be a good financial planner is that I've made every single wrong financial decision anyone can make. right? Like, I've made every wrong decision anyone can make with finance, and I got out of it, right? Mm. So, I'm like, oh, okay, so, all right, cool, I got out. So, like, I can teach people how not to get in, right at the beginning. Like, I can teach you how not to get in, but if you're in it, I can teach you how to get out of it. But it's one of those things where we sit and we're like, bro, we've got to teach people, right? It is, I mean, and this is a question that I'm going to like put out, I know it's your show, but like I'm just going to ask a question, like specifically around entrepreneurship. How do you feel about people that say they want to be entrepreneurs, but they have a day job, or they have, or rather not even a day job, they have something else that they're doing, and the reason that they have this thing that they're doing is just in case it doesn't work out, I've got a fallback. Like, how do you feel about people like that?
I say, what's wrong is that mindset to think that I have something to fall back on.
There we go.
Because when you fail, you must fail forward. Yeah. You know what? Fail and learn and carry on going. But you're telling yourself that come hell or high water, this thing is going to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you have that unsure step where you're trying to make sure that the step behind you is solid enough so that in case this doesn't work, I'll just jump backwards. You'll never get far the tree. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Watch a little kid climb a tree, you know.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Risk.
Because he's gone. If he says, in case the branch breaks, I got 1 foot on the ground.
Yeah.
How high are you going to go?
Exactly. You know what? That's a brilliant question. For me, the other day I was speaking with a friend of mine. He just got back from Ghana, and I said to him, you know, a lot of guys, I mean, we teach entrepreneurship in our program, and our focus with entrepreneurship is really to get young people to understand that it's as simple as identifying a problem, coming up with a solution, testing the solution, and then going out and commercializing.
There we go. Done.
Then you go, you know. There's big processes and red tape in a lot of the other institutions at the moment. But for me, there's people mix or sort of get confused between being entrepreneurs and being business people, right?
Being entrepreneurs or something like that. You want it, but
you don't actually do it, right? Yeah. So for me, when it comes to entrepreneurship, firstly, you know, it's got to be in you. You know, it's got to be in you, and you've got to be willing to go at it 24/7, 365. Entrepreneurs are builders, right? You build, and once it's built, you move on. You build. Those are entrepreneurs. Business people are good at creating numerous transactions that accumulate into good wealth.
Yeah, there you go.
So business people are good at. So I go into Wolf and Loop, and I say, guys, you've actually got a great system here, but this is how I can grow. This is how I can create more transactions for it to grow. Entrepreneurs is Mikhail. He's sitting and he says, this thing does not exist, or it does exist, but I've got a better way of doing it. He builds it. He creates the systems. He gets it going. Now it's running. It can go, and someone else can sustain it. Build a new one. Those are entrepreneurs. So for me, if we can get back to mindset is the basis of all things.
There we go.
Mindset, the base of all things. And if we can get people's mindsets right, you've got, jeez.
Funa Futu, you got something, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Excuse my language, guys. Conversation is giving me, like, literally a mental orgasm, guys. This is crazy.
Pause.
You'll forgive me.
It's uncensored. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah.
I always speak about these things with my friends at varsity. And we're sitting in room 2, 3 a.m. to speak about these things. First, I want to highlight on what you said, that your mom used to take time to understand that she needed to invest in your hockey stick. Right, your mom understood she needed to take time to invest in your hockey stick. Something us as black people need to realize, that we need to enhance our kids' talents, abilities, and gifts.
Yes.
That's how you commercialize it. If at some point in time I was in high school, I was playing soccer, I realized there's a guy who was getting 700,000 per second for playing football. These guys train 2 days a day. When you take your talents and you commercialize it, you're going to make money. The highest paid people are these guys, right? You need to understand that. Then the education also exists outside of the classroom, outside of the tool. It's what you do with the tool sometimes that make you realize the true education. And like you're saying with the guys, the business guys who have got that comfort zone to do, you don't grow in your comfort zone. You don't. No one is going to live a life of wanting to not come out of their shell. Everyone is really willing to sit on a comfy chair and be like, no, I'm fine, I'll chill with this. Right? That safety net, that safety zone. Once you let go of that, what happens? Right? The biggest, you know about hedging, you know about trading stock or stuff. Those guys take risks, right? You only have this one life, right? So if you're going to do something, give it your all.
Do it. Someone once said, life is risky. You got to die to leave this place, guys. It don't get no better than that.
You know what I mean, bro? Real talk, like though. Real talk, right?
Yeah.
And you can't take life too seriously, dude.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus didn't make it off the planet alive. Neither did Nelson Mandela, right? Who was Deputy Jesus. Right? So, I mean, you know what I mean? You're going to have to die at some point, right? So, do everything that you can.
Mm. Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, when it comes to finding yourself already now in a workplace, for instance, I when I'm listening to Funafuti speak, he doesn't sound like he's gonna be the typical employee.
No chance.
And here's the thing, you know, with those psychometric tests they make you do before they employ you, they're actually checking how good of a employee are you. They're trying to say how well do you take orders and not do too much of your own initiative. Yeah. We don't want anyone like that. Come no, Nkosi, you see this thing of yours of trying to be a leader here.
No.
Yes, here we don't just keep it here, Nkosi. Like your dreams, your ambition, as long as you can keep it within these bounds, we are fine with you. So that's sometimes the other risk of finding yourself, you know, saying, no, let me get that job for security's sake. I know I have these other, in fact, I have friends who strategically answer the questions wrong, not necessarily wrong, but they answer what they think the boss wants to hear.
Yeah.
Though inside they know that, I mina,
yeah.
Wes, can I please comment on that? Sorry, you just made me realize something. So a few months back, one of my assistants at school sent me an invitation to apply for some program called GradStar. It's business networking between universities and stuff like that. And there was a stage, I think it was the fourth stage, or third stage of Top 400, where they had two questions you had to answer. And each question said that you had to submit an essay of 500 to 600 words, right? So minimum was 500, maximum was 600, right? And there was two questions. So in total, you realize you have to have 1,000 words to answer those two questions. Both my answers were less than 400, but I still got into the top 100.
See?
Those guidelines are there to guide you, but they don't determine who you are.
No,
and you get people who are going to fill in that whole 100.
Yeah, fair.
But it's not going to work out. So those guidelines shouldn't restrict who you are.
Yeah.
It's a revelation from here.
100%. Yeah. Guys, we are out of time. But this is how it needs to be.
Yeah.
People need to want more. We want to give more.
Definitely.
But the time just doesn't allow. Exactly. That's when you know you got a good show.
You know, right?
It's been the shortest hour of the week. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Let's just hear those Twitter handles and Instagram, just so people can actually get to follow you guys and see what you guys do.
Cool. So my Twitter handle is Mikal Moyo. That's for Twitter. And then Instagram, hit me up at Lord Moyo. And then the website is Mpato and Associates, but that's sitting there on both my profiles, all of them. The website is there, so hit us up.
Fantastic.
Instagram, Uwa Asanta Sana Buana. That's Swahili.
All right.
Yeah. That's me on Instagram.
Good luck spelling that.
Guys, Uwa Asawa. Like the way it sounds, Uwa Asanta Sana Buane.
Cool.
That's me. Futimetula@gmail.com. Actually, right now, I'm looking for funds. I'm trying to travel to a One Young World Leadership Summit that I got invited to in the Netherlands in October. I'm trying to raise funds. They're looking for like 80,000 rand. I got someone to sponsor my flight. So if any of you guys that are listening are interested, or any of you guys here, it's futimetula@gmail.com. Facebook, Futi Metula. Instagram, Uwa Asanta Sana Buana. Twitter, Metula Uwa.
Great stuff.
Nice. Thank you very much. Nkosinati TM on all platforms. Nkosinati TM. The website for the business is primestars.co.za. That's where we change lives. Please connect with us. I'd like to reach out to all corporates, government, speakers, young people who want to change this country and take it to where we know it's meant to be. The new South African dream is being rewritten. Primestars.co.za. Let us make this future what we know.
The shortest hour of the week. And just like that, we out.
This is CliffCentral.com.